So wonderful to see each and every one of you this morning. And we greet those who are attending virtually. May the Lord bless you and keep you. I pray that you're enjoying worship as we have enjoyed worship here. We pray that you're enjoying worship at home as well. We pray that the presence of the Lord would reach you in every part of your home, and that you would have a wonderful Sunday today as well. And so thankful for the church that has gathered this morning. And we pray that the Lord will continue to bless us and lead us and watch over us in all that we do, that it would give him glory. So we're thankful for this privilege, and we greet those who are visiting us this morning. May the Lord bless you. If you don't have a place that you call your home of worship, we invite you then to join us here at ECC, a church family where we gather together as imperfect people to serve and worship a perfect God. I'm going to invite you to open up your Bibles or turn, open up your apps to Ephesians chapter 3. Ephesians chapter 3, verses 14 through 19. So I'm thankful for our musicians and worship team and those upstairs that faithfully serving the church, our ushers and greeters. Ephesians chapter 3, verses 14 through 19. And our theme today is rooted in God's love. Rooted in God's love. The Apostle Paul here writes to the church, and he says this, verse 14. For this reason, I kneel before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth derives its name. I pray that out of his glorious riches, he may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power together with all of the Lord's holy people to grasp how wide, how long, how high and deep is the love of Christ, and to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God, rooted in God's love. Father, I come before you this morning. As you, Lord God, have placed this word in my heart for your people today, I pray, Lord, that you would speak to your people this morning. Draw us a little closer to you, Lord. I pray that you would awaken something within us that is sleeping this morning, oh God, that you would bring direction to something, Lord God, in our lives today. I pray, Lord, that you would use me as a speaker of your voice, that you would place an anointing upon me for this hour to bring forth this word. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Rooted in God's love. Each and every one of us, we are rooted in different things in life, right? We are rooted in things that we see. We're rooted in people. We're rooted in our cultures, in our traditions. Some are rooted in religion. When we think about being rooted in something, we understand that that's where our strength comes from. That's where our identity comes from. That's what we hold on to, right? We hold on to where we are rooted. Being rooted in something keeps us from moving from one thing to another thing. Those who are not rooted find themselves constantly in transitions. Those who are not rooted in something find themselves moving from one thing to another thing. But when you find yourself rooted in something, come hell or high water, you stay firm in what you have believed and in what you are rooted in, because you understand that that's where you belong. Today I want to encourage you and remind you that we need to be rooted in God's love. This verse reminds us that God is the Father of all people. And here the Apostle Paul writes, those who have gone to heaven already or those who are on earth, that God's wonderful and glorious Spirit is within us, each and every one of us as Christians, and strengthens us for the work that he has for us. And he reminds us in these verses that God's love is immense. There is nothing greater on the face of the earth, is what he says. He says nothing wider, nothing longer, nothing deeper, nothing higher. So we can stand firm and be rooted in this truth. So today I want to encourage you and remind you that our roots would be found in the marvelous love of God. That once we've truly come to know who God is and how much he loves us and all that he's done for us, that we will find ourselves established in him. And when we think about how much he loved us, we are moved to know that he loved us so much that he gave his only begotten son, Jesus Christ, that whoever would believe in him would not perish, but have everlasting life. He loved us so much that he suffered the cross. He suffered the cross for those who were condemned. You and I were condemned, but God loved us so much that he sent his son to suffer the cross. And as the author of scripture says, he caused it for the joy set before him. You and I are the joy of the Lord. And he loved us so much that he suffered the cross for us, so that us who were condemned now can have life. He loved us so much that he who was rich became poor, so that you and I who are poor now, we are rich.
Amen.
Let us be rooted in this truth. God loves us. Rooted in the truth that God loves us. Where our deepest and strongest roots are, there is where we establish ourselves. And unfortunately, some have established themselves in things that shift in this world, and they find themselves derailed and lost and insecure and unsure because they have rooted themselves in things that have no true foundation. Some people have rooted themselves in churches. They rooted themselves in relationships or in people. They have rooted themselves in traditions or organizations. Some people root themselves in their careers. And when their careers are taken from them, they find themselves lost in despair. Some have rooted themselves in relationships and friends. All those things are found within the paradigm of life, but the love of God is so wide and long and high and deep, it goes beyond what we could ever imagine. All the other things can be taken from us. But God's love is eternal. It's timeless. It could never be taken from us. In fact, the love of God birthed creation for humanity to produce a way where we can have eternal life. God's love can never be taken from us. It is timeless. It was there in the beginning and it'll be there at the end. Can never be taken from us. Let us root ourselves in something that we know can never be taken from us. And that is where the believer and the Christian is rooted. He is rooted in the love of God. And the church says,
amen.
So I want to share with you three observations this morning when we think about being rooted in the introduction that we have shared this morning, being rooted in God's love. Three observations. The first one is, he loved us so much that he created us. When we look at verse 14 and 15, when I think of the wisdom and the scope of his plan, I fall down on my knees and I pray to the Father of the great family of God, some of them already in heaven and some down here on earth. We are rooted in this truth. He loved us so much that he created us. He is our Father, Abba Father.
Yes.
We're rooted in this truth that he loved us so much that he created us. We know that science teaches us that our parents got together and we were birthed into our beautiful families. But the truth is that the Bible tells us that he is the giver of life. And he has ordained life for you and for me. And the Bible teaches us that he loved us so much that he formed our inward parts. The Bible says that he knitted us together in our mother's womb, right? He loved us so much that he created us. God was intentional in creating each and every one of us, giving us our personalities, placing us in our cultures, giving us our fingerprints, giving us our good looks. God was intentional with each and every one of us. He loved us so much that he created us. We're reminded that when he speaks to the prophet Jeremiah, he tells him, I formed you in your mother's womb. And he tells him, I set you apart to be a prophet to the nation. It's a reminder to us that God is intentional with each and every one of us, that even when we find ourselves in the birthplace, God knows it, ordained it. He's the giver of life, and he knows all things. God wanted to create us. And if you ever felt in your life that you were not loved, or you ever felt in your life that you don't have no purpose, well, that is a lie of the devil, because we are reminded today that God loved us so much that he was intentional with every one of our lives, and he knit us together for his perfect will and for his perfect way. That we've been predestined for life. That God has set us aside with a great purpose. Let us be rooted in this truth that God has created us. So we are reminded then, if this is truth, we're reminded that we are special to God. That is why in our lowest moments, God was there. He didn't reject us. He didn't turn from us. No, even when we failed God, God was still attentive to us. Why? Because he loved us so much that he created us. When we needed forgiveness, he forgave us. Why? Because we're special to God. We are reminded that God desires that no one would perish, that everyone would come to complete repentance. And for that reason, he sends his only son for you and I. We are rooted in this truth that he loved us. Even in our mistakes, we're special to God. God reaches us even there. Even in our failures, we are reminded that God is intentional in looking for us. Why? Because we are rooted in this truth that God loved us so much that he created us. He loved you so much that he made you special. So let us live this life with this security and this assurance, rooted in this love that says, God has set me aside for a great purpose, rooted in this love. When we think that way, it changes the way that we live.
Yeah.
It values what we have. It values the gifting that God has put into our lives. It values the things that God has entrusted us with. It values where God has positioned us, because God has been intentional with each and every one of us. So it brings value to who we are as his children, and that we can never undermine our call and never forsake what God has put in our hands, knowing that God has been intentional with each and every one of us. So let us be rooted in this truth, and no one and nobody and no hardship or storm could ever uproot us from this reality that God loved us so much that he created us for his glory and for his honor. And no one should ever take that away from us. So we value this life that we have. We honor this life that has been entrusted to us because we know that it has been birthed in the heart of God. And we are rooted in this truth that there is value in us because God was intentional with each and every one of us. So maybe you're battling some things in your life. Be rooted in this truth. No storm will take me away from this. No storm will uproot me from this truth. Come hell or high water, I was created with a purpose. God was intentional with me. He gifted me with whatever he gifted me with. He purposed me wherever he has placed me. I'm exactly in the family that God wants me to be. I'm exactly in the church that God wants me to be. I'm currently exactly in the job that God wants me to be. I trust God for that because he has been intentional with my life. So I'm rooted in this truth that God loves me so much. He was intentional with my life. And the church says, amen. Root it in God's love. We are rooting God's love. We know that he loved us. Number two, he loved us so much that he gave us the Holy Spirit to strengthen us. Verse 16, that according to the riches of his glory, he may grant you to be strengthened with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your heart, in your hearts through faith. God does not put us on this earth and abandon us. So I love this. So there's a teaching of deism that says that God created all things and just kind of like a clock winds them up, boom, and lets them go, right? So we know that God did not just wind us up and let us go. No, he's created us with a purpose. So I love that not only did he create us, the Bible says that he doesn't leave us an orphan.
Amen.
But that he fills us with his Spirit. To think that the triune God lives within each and every one of us. That the moment that you gave your heart to Christ, the Bible says that moment you were sealed with his Spirit. And that at that very moment, the triune God came and presides in you, rests in you, dwells within you. That you can live with this conviction and this joy and this reality that God did just not... just didn't create you and let you go. But after he was intentional with us by creating us, now he fills us with his very Spirit to help us in this life that we live. The Bible teaches us this great truth. And some will say, but how can I be sure that the triune God lives within me? How can I be sure that God is helping me and leading me every day? When we do something bad, do we feel conviction? When we do something bad, do we feel guilty? Do we realize that we're not the same people we used to be, but there's transformation happening in our lives? We know that there is a battle within the spirit and the flesh. Where does that all come about? It's because the Spirit of God that's within us is helping us and leading us. This is the truth. He loved us so much that he gave us his Holy Spirit to strengthen us so that we can be victorious here on earth. I love that the disciples, when Jesus was preparing them for his departure here on earth, he tells them, I'm going to send the helper. I'm going to send the counselor. I'm going to empower you. I'm going to send one just like me. I will not leave you an orphan. He was letting them know, I know that you without me, you're not going to do well. But he tells them, stay in Jerusalem until you have received the promise. Right? Letting them know that for the mission that is before you, you're going to need my presence with you. So I'm going to send the Holy Spirit to help you live in the fullness of God. And that's what he does for us. Not only does he create us, but he sends his Spirit so that we can live in the fullness that he has for us. And let us be rooted in this truth that God loves us so much that he has not left us alone, but he has sent his Holy Spirit to live with us, to dwell within us, to help us and lead us every single day so that we could enjoy all that God has for us. And we know that he is victorious. And if Christ is victorious and his Holy Spirit dwells within us, that makes us victorious as well. You can be rooted in this great truth that God loved us so much that he didn't leave us orphans. But he sent his Holy Spirit to strengthen us for the work at hand, for the task at hand. And the church says, I love that the Apostle Paul says, the Holy Spirit will strengthen your inner man. He's letting him know he's going to help you. Be rooted in this truth, that you don't have to fight this battle on your own. No, that you have the Holy Spirit of God that will help you. We know that the Bible teaches us that there is a battle within us. Right, the spirit and the flesh. Galatians chapter 6 teaches us this, that we walk in the spirit, we will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. If we walk in the flesh, then we know that that's going to overpower us and it's going to be the dominating force within us and we'll find ourselves living according to the sinful nature. But if we allow the Spirit of God to take lead in our lives, we'll begin to bear the fruit of the Spirit. And that's what the Apostle Paul here is writing. He's saying that the Holy Spirit will strengthen your inner man. So when the battle of spirit and flesh take place, your spirit will win. The Spirit will win and help you live in the fullness that God has for you. Let us be rooted in this, because we're reminded that we have been set aside to be victorious. That God's Spirit within us helps us to be victorious. So the Holy Spirit helps us in our faith. The Bible reminds us that the Holy Spirit helps us to live the life that he has called us to live. Renews our spirit. Helps us to forgive. Even encourages us where we're in our low times. The Bible teaches us that the Holy Spirit sanctifies us. Brings convictions. Progressively works within us. The Bible teaches us that the Holy Spirit helps us to understand the scriptures and what God has for us and what God speaks to us. So the Holy Spirit is constantly ministering to us. I love that the Apostle Paul in 2 Corinthians chapter 3 and 4, he calls the Holy Spirit the ministering Spirit of God. The diakonia is the original language there. It's the ministering Spirit of God. It serves and it works within us. Why? To help us live the life that he has called us to live. Let us be rooted in this truth, rooted in this word, that his Holy Spirit empowers us for all that is before us, empowers us to overcome temptation, empowers us to walk in faith and trust him for the next. His Holy Spirit empowers us for ministry, empowers us to work in the spiritual gifts that God has entrusted us with. It is God's Holy Spirit within us that helps us. So we could be renewed with this thought. God loves us so much that he doesn't just create us and leave us as orphans. No, but he empowers us with his Spirit so that we could be led by the Spirit of God and live in the fullness that God has for us. The secret of the Christian is that we don't have to trust in ourselves. The secret of the Christian is that we don't have to walk in our own strength. The secret of the Christian is that we don't have to rely in our own intellect, but we can trust in God. And there is success for the believer when he has placed his faith in God and lives according to the Spirit of God that has strengthened his or her inner man. So I want to encourage you today. You're rooted in God's love. It helps us in our times of hardships and storms to be reminded that what helps us from transitioning from one thing to another, from one thought to another, from one mindset to another, from a spirit of discouragement always, what keeps us rooted is to know that God has been intentional with us. He's loved us so much. He's created us. But he hasn't left us as orphans. He has empowered us with his Spirit so that we can live the life that he has called us to live. So we're encouraged to know that. And our third observation this morning is the love of God is what allows us to enjoy the fullness of God. The love of God allows us to enjoy the fullness of God. Verse 19, and to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of the fullness of God. To know that God's love will help us become exactly who God has called us to be, that each of us may be filled to the measure of all of the fullness of God. That means that because God created us, because he gives us his Spirit, we can be exactly who God has called us to be. We can be exactly who God has called us to be. We can live exactly the life that God has called us to be. Again, because God has created us, because he has given us his Spirit, we can live and we can live the life that God has called us to live. Exactly what we have been created for. I don't know about you, but I would love to make sure that at the end of my time here on earth, that I could live the life that God has exactly called me to live. Oh, what would that life look like, right? What would that look like? You know, some people equate this call to live this fullness in God. They equate this call with titles and positions. They equate that great call with what may seem to others public ministry. And although those things are wonderful, to be an evangelist or a pastor or a leader and to serve, those things are wonderful, you know, but the fullness of God has more to do than those things. Those things are seasonal in many people's lives. Those things are transitional. Sometimes we're doing one thing and other times we're doing another thing. But to say that each and every one of us could enjoy the fullness of God, exactly what God has set aside for us, that has nothing to do with titles or positions or churches or organizations. No, that has to do with the perfect call that God has for his church here on earth. What would that call look like for us, right? Well, that call would look like the image of Christ here on earth. That's the fullness of God. That's something that you and I both can do. Maybe our gifting may be different, but we both can reflect the image of Jesus here on earth. And that is the fullness of God, right? That our friends would say there's something different about them. There's something different about the way that they walk and the way that they live. And the way their family reflects hardships and trials on this earth. And what would that be? And how does that, well, we're living in the fullness of God. What God has set aside for us, that we are reminded that we have a particular call and it's to reflect the image of Christ here on earth. And the church says. Amen. And don't let the enemy tell you that you can't, because you can. And don't let society tell you that you can't. And society will not change the church. And liberalism will not change the body of Christ or the call of Christ or the fullness of God. No, we've been set aside for this. We've been called to live in the fullness of God. And that reflects the image of Christ in a broken and lost world. And that's what we're rooted in. And that's why we don't change when circumstances change. And politics do not rule our law, and our law is not ruled by morality either, by a civil law here on earth. We are not led by a civil law here on earth, but we are led by a law that's given to us through God's word. It's where we get our worldview from, God's word. So we live this life knowing that the fullness of God reflects the image of Jesus. The fullness of God is a reminder to us that we are called to be the hands of God here on earth. I love that Jesus reminds us at the end time in Matthew chapter 25. How would he look at the church, at those entering to eternity in the end times? He looks at them and he judges them by saying, you treated the hungry well. You treated the thirsty well. You visit those that were imprisoned. You help the sick. That's how he judges those in Matthew chapter 5 entering into eternity. He didn't say, wow, you preached a lot of sermons. He didn't say, wow, you were a member of a church for a long time. No, the fullness of God has everything to do with the way that we live, how we reflect the image of Jesus, and how we are the hands of God here on earth. When we're talking about the fullness of God, we are also reminded that we are called to bear the fruit of God's love in humanity. To remember that how God dealt with us. We are also called to deal with people. God was generous with us, so we are called to be generous. God was loving towards us, kind towards us, so we're called also to be kind towards others. God was patient with us. How many say amen? And we're called to be patient with others. This is the fullness of God. It brings direction to us. When people feel lost and insecure and not sure how to go or what's next or how do we live or what's our call, we're reminded today that our call has everything to do with the fullness of God and how we live on earth and how we treat others. Someone once said, I cannot change the world, but I can change the face that is brought to me every day. Right? We're reminded to be fair and just with one another. That we are all equal regardless of where we were born or the color of our skin or the language that we speak. I love that the Apostle Paul in Colossians chapter 3, he says this. He says, here there is no Gentile or Jew, circumcised or uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave or free, but Christ is all and in all. We're reminded when people project racism, violence or hatred, this is the work of the evil one. Sometimes they even do it in the name of the church. That the Lord would keep us from those things. We are reminded as the church that the fullness of God resembles equality among humanity. And even in a time where we see hatred towards our Asian brothers and sisters, we are reminded today that we take a stand for what is just and what is right, and we stand together knowing that we are all equal as the body of Christ. This is the fullness of God. Amen. This is the fullness of God. The fullness of God reminds us that we are called to be the messengers of God on earth, that we are Christ's ambassadors, that we are known as the heralds of the gospel of Jesus Christ. We are the ones that are called to bring the good news to a lost and broken world. This is the call of the church, and this is the fullness of God for the church here on earth. We've been entrusted the Great Commission to go and make disciples. We've been entrusted to sharing the good news with a lost world. The Apostle Paul writes in Romans, how will they know if no one would preach to them? How will they believe if no one will preach to them? If they have not heard, this is the fullness of God here on earth. As I close our teaching this morning, let us be rooted in God's love. Rooted in God's love. Rooted in God's love has everything to do with how God deals with humanity and each and every one of us. And when we are rooted in this, nothing could derail us. Nothing could discourage us from what God wants to do in us. And we are rooted with this truth, that God loves each and every one of us so much that he was intentional with us. He gave you your personality. He entrusted you with your giftings. He has been purposeful with your life. He has placed you where you are today, in your family, in your church, in your community, on your job. He has been purposeful with you because he loved you so. Be rooted in that, to know that, that God has been intentional with you. He's been intentional with me. And I love that he hasn't just created us and set us to go, no, but he has filled us with his spirit so that we can know how to live or have the strength that we need. He has filled us with his spirit to strengthen the inner man so that we can live right, so that we can overcome temptation, so that we can be sensitive to his will, so that we can be empowered for the task before us, so that we would trust him and not ourselves. So he has strengthened the inner man by giving us his spirit. Let us be rooted in this reality that God is not sending us off alone. No, but that he walks with us, the triune God, from the moment we give our hearts to the Lord. And the more you cultivate a relationship with God, the more sensitive you are to his Holy Spirit. Some people feel like, I'm not sensing God. Well, are you cultivating that? The more you cultivate that, the more sensitive you are to what he's doing in your life. So he creates you, and then he strengthens your inner man with his spirit so that you can. And then he loved you so much so that you can, what? Fulfill his purpose, the fullness of God. So that you and I, there's no difference in us in what we're called to do, right? There may be different responsibilities, right? Different things that he entrusts with us, but our overall call is to be the image of Christ here on earth. And you and I are both called to the same call, the fullness of God. And in that, we're reminded that we treat all people equally. In that, we serve those who need. In that fullness of God, we understand that we are the image of Christ. And we are heralds of the gospel. This is the fullness of God. Mm-hmm. Let us be rooted in this great love. Amen. That God has set us aside to live a life that reflects him and all that he wants to do in our life. And this is the fullness of God. And the church says, I'm going to invite you to stand. So maybe you're here today and you feel a sense of being a little lost, a little insecure. Or maybe life storms have uprooted you from what you placed your faith in. Maybe you placed your faith in money and storms came and you were uprooted from that. You placed your faith in a career, storms came and uprooted you from that. Maybe you placed your faith in the church and the church failed you. Maybe you placed your faith in individuals and they failed you. You placed your root in those things. You were rooted in those things and they failed you. Those things are things that life offers. We can't place our most heartfelt roots in those things. They will let us down. The author of Hebrews reminds us that we place our eyes on Jesus because he's the author and perfecter of our faith. That we will be rooted in God's great love for us. To know that God loved us so much and created us. That should bring us joy, contentment, excitement. He don't leave us alone. His spirit helps us, strengthens our inner man so that we can enjoy the fullness that he has for us. Maybe you're here today and you feel lost. Maybe you've been rooted in the wrong things. And when those hard times have come, you have felt uprooted, betrayed, lost. You find yourself in a situation and you ask him, how did I get here? It's because we placed our faith in the wrong things. Your faith maybe even has been shaken because of it. But today I want to encourage you and remind you that God's love for us is so great, so wide. Let us place our faith in him. Maybe you're here today and you feel lost. As we sing this next song and you would like prayer, I want to encourage you to come to the altar. We want to pray for you. If you come to the altar and there's somebody here, and I say you can just give them a little bit of space. One of our pastors will come behind you and pray for you. If you're far from God today, and you feel like I'm far from God, today is a good day to say, Lord, I wanna root myself in you, Lord. I wanna be rooted in you, Lord. Maybe you haven't given your life to Christ, or you need to reconcile. Today is the day of salvation. Hear the words that are reminding you that God has been intentional with you. Today is the day of salvation. Or maybe you've just been discouraged and you need to refocus. If you like prayer, the altar is open. We'd love to pray for you this morning.
God bless you. God keep you.
Thank you for taking the time to listen to this sermon. We pray it blesses and encourages your life.